Blog Talk Radio.
Rap Sick Radio, premiere, twisting internet radio. Listen here, you're rocking the best Thursday night on air. Urban music culture lifestyle, yeah. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. BrownSugarRadio, premiere. Twisting internet radio, listen here. You're rocking the best Thursday night on air. Urban music culture lifestyle, yeah. BrownSugarRadio.com. Every Thursday, keep your internet on. Brown Sugar Radio is the premier choice in internet radio. You're rocking with the best every Thursday night. Live in urban music, culture, and lifestyle. That's right, www.brownsugarradio.com. Come on, keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, brown sugar radio.
Keep your internet on.
Brown Sugar, brown, brown sugar. Brown Sugar, Brown Sugar Radio.
B-R-O-W-N-S-U-G-A. Go run and tell the DJ. Hitting the Vegas and hitting worldwide. Brown Sugar Radio is all the way live. Let's shake the world. Good night.
What's poppin', Brown Sugar Radio lore listeners? As tonight, we have a very special guest in the house tonight. Actor Clayton. I'm going to get this name right now. I believe it's LeBeau. If I messed it up, Clayton, please let me know. Live tonight on Brown Sugar Radio. And many of you will remember this phenomenal actor from the starring role as Colonel George Barnfather in Homicide, Life on the Streets. He also appeared in the award-winning miniseries The Coroner, as well as played Wendell Orlando in 7 episodes of The Wire. Clayton had one of my absolute, this is a golden opportunity. This movie was such an anointed movie, and it was based on a true story, Something the Lord Made, which was a 2004 HBO special, which starred Mos Def and Gabrielle Union. I want to welcome to the stage tonight, actor Clayton. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio.
Yes. How are you doing, Sugar? It's a pleasure to be on your stage to talk with you and your listeners.
Absolutely. Well, we want to give you a round of applause for all of the wonderful accolades that you have brought to, you know, the Hollywood stage. And I just want to say that, you know, first of all, please tell me how to pronounce your last name. Did I mess it up, Clayton?
Oh, no, you were close. Some people have really chopped it up, but you were right in there. It's like LeBeau, like B-U-F-F.
Oh, okay, LeBeau.
So LeBeau, yes.
So got you, okay.
But you were really close.
I said LeBeau. I said that you in there throwing me off, but definitely, now, I want to say that name is unique, you know. And you're right, I'm sure it probably got butchered a lot, huh? Especially a roll call at school or something when you were coming out.
Well, actually, you know, Sandra, the lady that is a LeBeau that was on the Cosby Show as well. I'm not related. Remember the older sister?
Sister
on the Cosby Show? Yeah.
I sure do.
And then there's another actor, a young man named something LeBeau. I forget this young actor's name. I forget his name. It has an interesting name. It's kind of hot with the young folks.
Wow. Okay. All right. Now it looks harder than how you actually pronounce it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'm just absolutely thrilled to have you tonight, and I just want to say welcome to the show. You know, because we were looking forward to this interview. We had to kind of work with your schedule. You got a lot of wonderful things going on. And so thank you for joining us tonight, Clayton, being our special guest on the live show on Blog Talk Radio. And so so many wonderful shows that you were blessed, you know, to appear on, you know. And I want to get into a little bit as far as, you know, your acting. And one thing, I've always admired the fact, that is like a true talent, you know, to be able to act And I always wondered, like with actors and actresses, how do they cry? I mean, do they, you know, do you have to think of something really sad, Clayton? Or, you know what I mean? Do they put drops, Visine in your eyes? How do they get you to cry for a sad scene?
Well, in the theater, it's done in a number of different ways. Different actors take different approaches. Sometimes it's not necessarily anything you do sad or happy. Sometimes if you really feel the moment that you're into, the writing itself could lead you if you're really into the writing. There are different times in theater because you may have to work every night. So it's different nights. Some people say, hey, it's different. It's the same all the time in theater. That's not true because you have different audiences that react differently. And then you feel differently every day. In the movies, it's different. You may be on stage, they do use sometimes a little bit of the Visine or something for actors that maybe are not able to pull it up on cue. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, so sometimes.
In film they may use it. But an actor that's able in theater actually is where it really gets difficult because every night you may, most theater, professional theaters, you only have a day off, and that's Monday. I don't know if a lot of people know that. In the so-called professional theater world, if you're in a show that's running in what they call regional theaters, you only have one night off, and that's Monday. Mm. Some theaters might give you a Tuesday. It all depends on how big the theater is. So at the most, you'll have Monday and Tuesday off, and the rest of the week you work. So say if you're not feeling the same on the Thursday performance as you did as the Wednesday, you might do something different in order to cry, and maybe you will think of something sad or something even joyous, actually, because you know how that goes. We can cry when we're happy as well. Yeah.
Wow, what a trick you've taught us here, because I always felt like, you know, what do they tell you to make you cry? You know, what is one of the concepts, you know? And that's amazing to know that. But you have just been a blessing, you know. And one thing I admire is the fact that, you know, you have been such an incredible, you know, role model in the African-American community. And I want to commend you for that because the wonderful event that you actually were a huge part of, the Joe Gaines event, I wanted you to kind of shed a little bit of light on that. But before we get into it, I want to ask you a little bit more as far as that awesome movie, Something the Lord Made. That movie is so touching. It almost reminded me of the movie The Gifted Hands with the Ben Carson story. You know, they have similarities almost. You know, tell us as far as what was it that intrigued you to even audition for the role, or were you handpicked? You know, and let us know about, you know, how it felt making such a touching movie.
Yes, you know, stories, after a while, when you do a certain kind of work, there are different people in the industry that find out about you and your work and what might appeal to you or how you might appeal to the story that they're telling. That's what happens a lot of times with casting. They have to narrow things down because there's such a wide breadth of talent all over. Talent is all over the place. There are people who can play roles and bring what they can bring to it. But sometimes certain people in the industry have to pare that down, and sometimes they'll take a look at certain people, and they'll just start with the people who maybe they respect. The director of Something the Lord Made, Mr. Joseph Sargent, this man has been around for quite some time. He's worked with some great actors, and when I met him, he told me, he said he saw the tape that I had. There's the casting lady that brings you in. And then what happens, there's a meeting that the actor is not privy to where you come in and you do your tape or your audition, per se, and then they go to war. They have their choices. Sometimes the director may not want what the casting lady is pushing. And the casting man might be pushing a certain actor. And then the director or the casting lady said, well, I think this is the one you should use. And the director may say no. The director and the casting person may agree on the one, but then the producer of the film may not want that. So I tell actors all the time, try not to personalize it too much when you don't get cast, because a lot of times it has nothing to do with you.
Wow.
You could do a great audition, but I tell actors, young actors who I mentor, I'm saying, don't be so into yourself where, I did a great audition, but I didn't get cast. I said, well, other people do great auditions too. So
yeah.
You can do a great audition, but somebody else, you're not the only one that can do a great audition. And then sometimes it has to do with a look. So many things go into casting that if an actor doesn't take it too personally, if they don't get cast, it can really help them not to be hard on themselves. And when I got cast in the film, opposite most, obviously the people who I was working with, they kind of respected some of the work that I've done before, so they brought me in, and that's how that happens a lot of times. The casting.
Amazing.
Yes.
That is like truly amazing.
I recall for HBO, I was being looked at very strongly, actually for Martin Luther King, interestingly enough.
Wow. That would have been phenomenal, Clayton.
Yes, it was, and then Jeffrey Wright, one of the finest actors who I know. He's from the D.C. area. I've worked with Jeffrey. They had cast him in. So some people will say, well, he doesn't look like him, or you don't even look like him. But see, people don't know. Sometimes that's not what they're looking for. Sometimes they're not looking for how somebody looks. They're looking for an actor that they feel can best tell the story.
Interesting. Well, you know, I just have to say that I know that it takes a special person, you know, in order to portray, especially films that are based on documentaries, you know, the ones that are more fictional, you know, it seems that you can add a little bit more to it and you know, certainly play with the script a little more. But when you're doing something that actually happened, can you tell us the difference between actually, you know, a drama, you know, that you're doing, and actually filming a story that was a true life story, you know, as far as acting? How does that differentiate your skills when you're, you know, portraying somebody as a real story?
That's a good question. What happens is, you know, with somebody that has actually lived, there's research that the writers do, and they have 2 hours to try to tell somebody's story within 2 hours. So that's not easy within of itself for the writer. Then while the actor is cast in it, they can do research that has nothing to do with what is even seen in the movie a lot of times. So a lot of times, you know, you can do research and never use the things that you've learned about a character, but it just helps you to get inside and learn about the character. So there are times, take for example, Harold, who I played. He at first wasn't a part of the script at first because they were telling the story of, you know, Vivian Thomas, the doctor. The more
right.
they started finding out about his brother, the mm-hmm. more they were like, well, wait a minute. This guy's brother is kind of a hero in his own right. We can't have
yes.
him take the story over.
That's right. He was very instrumental in his life. Right. The brother was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a little more fiery because, you know, Vivian, the doctor, was a little bit more laid back, and it shows how different people and families approach different things. He was a teacher that took the Nashville Board of Education to the Supreme Court. So that's in the film. Yeah, and
right.
so that's in the film. It's what you call a subplot. So the story is about Vivian, and they found out more about Harold at some point. I might even do something more about Harold. You know, there could be, you know, another story that we do that deals
yes.
with Harold at some point. So you do your research, and even if it's not a part of the movie, you
mm-hmm.
find out different things about the actors. Some you can use, some you can't. I found out sometimes they're gone and passed away, so you have to bring what you can to the table. And if you get a chance to meet someone you're playing, obviously, that's a wonderful thing sometimes, too, if someone is still living and they can pass on things to you.
Oh, wow, I know. Now, well, I don't want to spoil it for the listeners, so I don't want to ask that question, I guess. But definitely I want to, for all of the listeners, check out Something the Lord Made, because the movie is just phenomenal. It had me in tears. You know, it just shows how we as African Americans have come a long way. And when it comes to business, you have to be business savvy, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a lawyer, no matter what your profession is, you have to know your craft so that you don't get blindsided or you don't get taken advantage of. Rather, it's a white man, Chinese man, you know what I'm saying, or Italian man, whatever be the case. You know, you just have to make sure that you know what the laws are and you know what it is that, you know, you're able to do, and make sure that you do not get taken advantage of. And so definitely, like I said, I don't want to give too much of the movie away, because with me asking this question, it would have gave away the ending. So I don't want to do that, Clayton. I caught myself. I don't like to be a spoiler.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I didn't want to spoil it.
HBO has to be commended, most deaf, and I mean, everyone did a fantastic job. But again, it was it's quite interesting. Here's a man that is responsible for heart surgery.
Yes.
In this country.
Yes.
You know, and he's finally, you know, getting attention. There's so many of these stories that I personally am interested in, and other people, that there's so many of these wonderful men and women who've lived a life that we have to be able to tell their stories. So HBO is doing some work in that area.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. And, you know, I just want to say that you did an outstanding job in that movie. You know, I really felt like I was there. I was reliving the moment. You know, that's how you know when you have an awesome actor. You know, when you feel like you're actually there in the moment, and you did that. You made me feel like I was actually there with the events that were taking place, and I got teary-eyed. You know, and the movie moved me, and you know, just what an incredible job that, you know, you did. And now, as far as The Wire, many of you who followed that incredible series, tell us how that came about, Clayton, in your life, how you were able to have such a great opportunity with that particular show.
Yes, the gentleman named Clark Johnson, he's a very strong director and actor in his own right. If people were familiar with the network series on NBC that was called Homicide, Homicide is a very powerful network series that came on Friday nights on NBC on network television. And it was kind of
an interesting series
because you do Friday night is an interesting time slot, because a lot of times people are out rolling, jamming, going to concerts and having, you know, so there were people that were somewhat familiar with it or didn't get a chance to see it. And Clark Johnson was one of the stars of the show who has moved on into directing some powerful stuff. So I have worked with him on Homicide, and some of the same people. A man who wrote the Homicide book, David Simon, he's also the writer and the producer of The Wire. So again, you develop maybe a working relationship with people, and they respect what you do. So from Homicide, the relationship I had, I did about 7 seasons playing, like you said in the top of your show, Colonel Bonfather, who was the head. So out of that, when The Wire came around, the writer, he knew the versatility that he maybe wanted. So there's a cat named Orlando, who is the owner of the strip, a character owner of the strip club. And he wanted me to do that role. I met with the director, and I told the director, look, I want to do something interesting with him as far as his look was concerned, because I let all his hair out on the top of my head, and he was a little fancy dresser, had these little shirts on and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And so out of that working relationship, I was cast as Orlando in The Wire.
That's awesome. I want to say that, you know, one thing that was really special was the fact that you were heavily involved and really concerned in regards to keeping the Joe Gaines history alive. And it was actually last night, yesterday, was the 100th anniversary. And I want you to share with our listeners tonight how meaningful this was to you. And give us a little history for those of you who may not be familiar with Joe Gaines. Certainly Clayton's going to fill us in regards to how powerful and influential this man was for the African-American community.
Yes, Joe Gaines was the first boxing champion, or actually sports black champion in all sports in America. This is a man from Baltimore, Maryland, who was a oyster shucker as a kid and in Baltimore. And boxing at the turn of the century, you know, was very big. You know, they would have boxing matches, and it was a certain time in America. And this was what they would call, you know, a lightweight. He wasn't a heavyweight fighter. And this young man got known in Baltimore through some fights, and then went on and began to, you know, knock folks out with this particular style that he had. And literally, some people say that Joe Gans, G-A-N-S, literally, they called him the old master, that some people in boxing circles feel that he's the greatest fighter that ever lived. And that's always up for discussion amongst boxing fanatics. You know how they go. Who was the best? Was it Ali? Was it Joe Louis? Was it Jack Johnson? A lot of times that's all good for speculation and opinions. But this was the man that literally came before Jack Johnson, you see. And Jack Johnson actually looked up to him. What makes Joe Gans amazing is that he was also a business, an astute businessman. With the money that he won from a fight in Goldfield, Nevada, which was 42 rounds. Try to imagine that.
Ugly.
Somebody fighting 42 rounds and getting $10,000 for where he was supposed to have received more. He comes back to Baltimore, and he buys a hotel. This is before the Cotton Club. You see, this is before, the Cotton Club is like after that. So this man buys a hotel in Baltimore where all of the entertainers come and different people.
Wow.
And Jack Johnson. And U.B. Blake, the great jazz or ragtime piano player, got his start at 19 years old. Joe Gans hired this 19-year-old man to play. And, you know, this is the kinds of stories that if we just have more of these kinds of stories, it will balance out some of the other stories that that are presented on a regular basis.
Amazing.
And, we celebrated his life yesterday. As a matter of fact, tomorrow I have to go to the cemetery where he is laid to rest. And they're having a big wreath-laying ceremony. The city, the mayor, had a proclamation. Last night I emceed an affair at the U.B. Blake Jazz Center, and we honored Joe Gans and a woman named Henrietta Vinton Davis, who I've written a play about. So the people, your listeners, are getting a little touch of what's coming.
Yes, definitely. You said, and just you sharing with us the history of Joe Gans really is touching, because, you know, as many of us as African Americans, we have dealt with, you know, overcoming various challenges throughout, you know, the last few decades and centuries, you know, and it just seems that to see all of the hard work that he did, you know, and now when you see the boxers that are out, such as Sugar Shane or Floyd Mayweather, you know what I'm saying? He's paved the way, Muhammad Ali, you know what I'm saying? So many outstanding fighters have, I'm sure, followed in his path, you know, and I think that, you know, it's just awesome to see how God used him, you know, in order to allow us to have the privilege now to even compete amongst, you know, some of the best in the world. And you know, as an African-American woman, I'm very, very proud of that, you know. And so I think that what you guys are doing is wonderful. I'm glad that somebody remembers him. You know, he wasn't a fallen hero or a forgotten hero. You know, he's very valuable, just as if Martin Luther King was, you know.
Exactly right.
And many may say Malcolm X, you know. So I just think that he's a very, very important component for Black history. And I'm so glad that you're here tonight sharing with us, you know, what it is that he brought to our culture. He just helped to enrich it, you know, that much more. Tell us about the event last night. Describe, you know, how was it, and you know, the feeling that overcame you when you were at this 100th anniversary special for Joe Gans.
Well, as I stated, it was a celebration for two great Baltimoreans. The people, your listeners, can go online to find out more about Joe Gans and joegans.com and other articles. You just put his name in Google. But then again, it wasn't just a celebration for Joe last night. It was a celebration also honoring Henrietta Vinton Davis, who was a Shakespearean actress, who when people find out about what this lady has accomplished in her life, it will definitely have people going to the books, going to the internet, finding out more about this wonderful lady. So last night we had a great balance. We were honoring Joe Gans, and we were honoring Henrietta Vinton Davis. So we had two Baltimoreans of deep historical value, and it was well attended. It was at the UB Blake Center. So here we have a great Shakespearean actress who worked with Frederick Douglass and Marcus Garvey in her day, and her story is astounding. We had Joe Gans, and we're at the UB Blake Center in Baltimore. So the people came out. We had music played, had a little light refreshment. Of course, it was a program where I introduced various people in the Baltimore and the D.C. community who are involved in various activities. And one of the nicest things that we did was we made it special because we gave the first Joe Gans Award to a gentleman named Marvin McDowell. And this young man has a boxing gym in Baltimore, which is also an after-school program for young children. It's like nothing you ever seen.
Oh.
It's a boxing gym. But he has all kinds of children come in after school to do their schoolwork and then put boxing gloves on and do their thing. It's an amazing work. So we weren't just honoring people who have gone. We were honoring people who are right among us. So that's what yesterday
was.
That is
beautiful. That's beautiful. That is so moving to me, you know, to develop a gym for children to pursue their dreams. You know, we didn't have that many years ago.
I don't know if there's anything like this, you know, where because when I went and my first visit there, you see children of all ages, his own children there. I'm talking about 6, 7 years old with gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
There were women boxers in there. And then you go into an area and he opens up a door and they're in there with teachers and computers.
Wow.
This is like inside a boxing gym. So you have the best of both worlds where these young people are getting the physical stamina and the discipline from a physical workout, the discipline of boxing, but then they're also getting the mental workout. And we honored this man, and we were telling people in the Baltimore area that with all of these athletes with millions of dollars, this is a young man that has his gym in the heart of the community on what they call North Avenue in Baltimore. People who have seen The Wire and The Corner, they know that Baltimore is like a lot of other inner cities. It's struggling with drug abuse and substance abuse.
Yes,
You know, gentrification and all kinds of AIDS and all kinds of. Here's a man with limited resources doing something, and we wanted to honor him to put a spotlight and say, if this man gets some of the money that some of our bigger athletes are just throwing away sometimes, the work that this man is doing, if he can get some of the financing, this is what we wanted to bring to light, and we did, and we're going to continue to talk about it as I'm sharing with you and your audiences way down in Vegas. The help might come from even sometimes out of the city. That's the way things work sometimes, you know.
Wow, that's something else. That is something else. Well, I'm just really glad that you're informing us of just how special this event was, you know, and especially during this day and age, you know, with the economy at the state that it's in now and, you know, with, you know, a lot of people going through, you know, somewhat of a depression, you know what I'm saying, whether it's economically or whether it's them, you know, relationships, you know, divorce, just all kind of things are going on with that are all apart. They are all a reflection of what's going on with the, you know, the economy and the state that it is in. And so this is a wonderful way. Not only is he providing stability for the children and a positive outlet, but he's also, too, you know, allowing job opportunities. I'm sure someone has to go in there and work with these children and keep the gym clean and different things of that nature. So my hat's off to him, you know, and definitely I am very glad, you know, that this man was honored last night because it is very important. Our children are the future. So I think that's
maybe
great
point,
what he's doing, Clayton.
Point,
you know, it's awesome.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe at some point, you know, you can speak with him as well. I'll be telling people, you know, to tune into your show, and you know, sometimes
sports,
because it's not necessarily a sports story. You know, all things are related. Some people say, you know, the sports world, but as soon as a LeBron James leaves a Cleveland, it takes on more than sports. It takes on something bigger because the city is hurting and they didn't want to see him leave. So, you know, sports is not a world in and of itself. Or, you know, it's a real world. Of course, there's the stories within anything, any field, but it all comes around to, you know, you can cover some of these, you know, stories and make it relate. Your audiences know some of the different, you know, stories that are happening because we're able to do that now with block radio shows like yours and Facebooks and different social networking. We can get the good stories. See, too many times, I'm interested in sharing stories. I don't like to say positive so much because sometimes that can go a little over the top, you know, positive. But I'm just saying stories that bring balance is what I like to say because sometimes we hear so many crazy stories.
That's
you
true.
Know, that if you just share some stories that help bring a balance, people can say, okay, wow, I heard about that crazy story about somebody doing, but I also heard about the story about Vivian Thomas, the man who invented tools for heart surgery. Well, yeah, a black man invented tools for heart surgery. And when you hear something like this, it gives you inspiration to say, well, man, or Henrietta Vinton Davis, this is the lady that was helping raise money to buy boats and buy boats for Marcus Garvey, ships rather, you know, to travel. Traveling on ships, black people buying ships back in the day where you start to read stuff like this, it starts to make you wonder what the hell you're doing.
You know, for real.
Okay,
you're telling the truth.
Yeah, it's like, but if they was doing stuff like this back in the day, man, maybe, you know, and it gives you inspiration to say, well, if it was done before, it can be done again. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Clayton, I have to say that I am so honored tonight to have you on Brown Sugar Radio, especially after you told me, you said, you know what, Sugar? He said, I like to do up-close and personal interviews such as this. You wasn't going to do the Jay Leno or the David Letterman or none of the big-time, you know what I mean, shows. And I appreciate you coming through tonight, you know, on an intimate setting, you and I talking and educating, you know, the listeners out there. And so I feel special because the big people, you know, who are reaching out to you, you know what I mean, that's already in the, you know, TV show and they've been established for years and here you selected Brown Sugar Radio to come and share your story and to share the story of Joe Gaines. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, okay, because that really means a lot to me.
Well, I have to thank you, and I have to give a shout-out to the gentleman that turned me on to what you were doing and the work that you were doing and how you're sharing information. And his name is Kevin Grace. I talked to him last night, told him I would be coming on. He told me to tell you hi. He'll check back in with you. Kevin Grace has been doing some wonderful work in the area. I met him. He was also on the set of Something the Lord Made. I had been bumping into him certain work, and then we began to talk. And he was the one that told me about, you know, Brown Sugar. He said, man, there's a young lady down the way that's doing some nice work, sharing some information with the people on her Brown Sugar radio station. I would like for you to talk with her. So I want to, you know, thank Kevin. Kevin.
Absolutely.
Grace, you know,
shout out to Kevin because Kevin is an incredible man and he's doing some major things in the community as well. And he allowed this connection to happen. You're absolutely right. So I definitely want to say thank you to him as well.
Yeah, he told me that he'll touch back base with you because I'll be seeing him tomorrow and I'll tell him, you know, that we had our discussion and, you know, to help build what you're doing. So, again, there's different people sharing the information. They get a little scoop on what's happening. Joe Gans, Henrietta Davis, some of the work that's coming in various forms, be it documentary plays or even the feature films, that through you people have a little taste of what's to come.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I, like I said, I'm all for it, you know, and that's what this radio station was designed for, is to uplift and embrace the African-American community. And any way that I can do that, by all means, I certainly want to contribute my part so our voices can be heard. And, you know, one thing before we go, I want to ask you, as far as any upcoming projects, you know, with your awesome acting skills, where can we be looking out for you next?
That's a very good question, because one of the reasons why I took an interest in talking with you as well is that there's a young lady that I had met in California, but she's a performer, singer, and actor, and she works in and out of the Vegas area. Some people may be familiar with her, but her name is Arkini. And I had met her in California, and I may be coming down to Vegas to meet with her about a project that I had introduced with her, to her a while back, and it's a stage production, a one-act production that looks like is shaping up, and I won't tell what the story is about, but it's the working title right now. It's just called The Record Store. That's, you know, that's
all right.
Title. You know,
that'll work,
I mean,
for me.
And so I may be coming down to speak with, because she would be playing the lead role, and so that's one. And then, of course, Henrietta Vinton Davis, the lady that we honored last night with Joe Gans. I've written a play about her, and as we honor her, this play, which will probably be next year in 11, will probably start to kick into gear. And so that's what's on the table right now, as well as, you know, a number of other projects.
Good.
You know, and then you
I just auditioned
for a play up here at Arena Stage. So, you know, if things are always surrounding, and you see how it falls in place, you know. But Henrietta Davis and The Record Store are the two projects that I'm personally have written and are moving forward on as we speak.
Fabulous, fabulous. Well, I look forward to definitely seeing you in action again, you know, just very talented, anointed man. And, you know, you continue to spread the word, you know, about Joe Gaines and what he's done, how he's touched so many lives. I want to say that that's just beautiful what you're doing. And so, you, like I tell all of my guests, that really touched my soul, you're welcome anytime, Clayton. To come back on Brown Sugar Radio, you know, anytime you have an event you'd like to promote or anything that's special to you that you'd like to put out there where your voice can be heard, anytime, you're welcome back on Brown Sugar Radio.
I appreciate that, Sugar, and you have a good evening. Continue to do all that you're doing, and obviously, you know, as a people of many times, you know, without listeners, without audience members that appreciate what people are doing as well, I want to thank all your listeners and all the people who listen to you, because as you share and do your work, the listeners tell other people, and that's how it starts. And people spread the good news around, you know, to help bring a balance maybe to some of the other stuff that is floating around there. And people can say, yeah, but did you hear about this? Where did you learn about this? I learned about it on Brown Sugar Radio.
That's right. Well, thank you, Clayton. You've been a joy tonight, and definitely, like I said, God bless you, and have a great evening.
I appreciate that, and we'll be in touch.
All right.
Bye-bye. Good
okay, night. Good night. All right, so that is the wonderful Clayton LaBeouf. I got his last name right, finally. It looks like LaBeouf, but it is LaBeouf. And definitely, if you have not seen Something the Lord Has Made, it was an HBO special developed in 2004, and it aired, and see if you can either get it on DVD or get it on something special. Rather, you can either try to find it on HBO again if it's going to play, because they've actually played the movie so many times. That movie is heartfelt, and it is going to make you just your eyes tear up, okay? If you don't break down and cry, you're going to feel it. Because the passion behind this movie is so inspirational. I want to tell you that Clayton did an awesome job acting as the brother for the doctor that Mos Def he was starring as, and Gabrielle Union was in the movie too, and it was just so awesome. For many of you that are just joining us tonight, bless Angel Eyes and Coach Rael, thank you so much for coming through tonight, and all of the listeners that are tuning in via Facebook, I want to say thank you for supporting Clayton LaBeouf tonight as he was sharing, you know, his incredible journey, how he got started in acting in some of the awesome roles such as The Wire and The Homicide, you know, and just awesome things God is doing in his life. Joe Gaines, you want to definitely Google Joe Gaines because this show was a tribute to a man that changed the world, being a champion, one of the first African-American champions in the world in any sport. Can you stand it? You know, I mean, just awesome how Joe opened up so many doors and avenues for so many athletes and families and homes. And so, you know, I just want to say for those of you who are just now tuning in tonight, I want for you to catch the archive show, and definitely you want to keep it locked and tune in. Stay tuned because Clayton has some wonderful things that will be coming up in the near future. And so tomorrow night we have Big Capo that will be starring on Brown Sugar Radio, and he is a West Coast musician that will be shedding light on his new single, Reppin' the West. And then on Thursday, we have a controversial but very, very needed topic, creeping in the church house. Yes, your girl said it, creeping in the church house. We want to talk about it, you know. Many of us that are single look for the right mate, but are we all going to church for Mr. or Mrs. Right or Mr. and Mrs. or Mrs. Do Me Right? We got to figure that out, y'all. We're going to put it all on the table as myself and my special guest co-host of that evening will be Sound Off Now. So definitely mark your calendars and make sure that you guys keep it locked because we do have some hot topics that will be arriving on the live show on the Internet, Brown Sugar Radio, here where you heard it first. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and exit for tonight. I want to say thank you for all of the loyal listeners that have tuned in tonight on this wonderful topic. And I'll see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. This was a much-needed show. So we don't ordinarily air on Mondays. Many of you know that. But I felt like the occasion and the topic was very, very necessary. So we're going to go ahead and close for tonight. I want to say thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where entertainment is extraordinary. Y'all make it a fantastic night.
Brown Sugar Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio.
That's where it's happening. The most impressive show.
On Internet Radio.
Brown Sugar Radio. You don't want to miss a segment of excitement.
We have the hottest celebrities, interviews, and gossip. Breathtaking topics, the latest fashion,
health and beauty tips.
Underground hip-hop and R&B.
And artists to make you groove, and the best fans to chat with.
Come and chill with the girl Brown Sugar every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm gonna take my time.